You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere. Please stand by for the John and Gordy Morning Show. Phone lines are open right now. Call or text 608-879-8255 or use the free Civic Media app. And now, live from the Civic Media headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, here are John and Gordy. We're truly sorry.
You're sorry.
Hey, man.
What about us?
That's cool. Yep. WMDX, John and Gordy in the morning.
He's John, I'm Gordy, producer Sam. Is in the hot box there, pushing the buttons and switches.
The hot box.
Yeah. That's where the action is, baby.
Yeah.
This portion of the John and Gordy Morning Show is brought to you by our friends at Verlo Mattress.
It's where it's at.
Sleep better and dream bigger. It is where it's at. And you're exactly right. And by the way, the President's Sale is still going on at Verlo Mattress. I know President's Day was a couple of weeks ago, but hey, they still have the President's Day sale going on. You can save up to $250, maybe $500, or even $850 off of their factory direct prices. And for a limited time, save up to 50%, John Peterson, on their adjustable bases. Their adjustable bases.
That's a really good deal. You really have
fantastic.
To scoop that up.
Yep. This offer is valid at the Madison East Side location or West Side location. There's also free 0% financing available for 6, 12, or even 18 months. And also check out their lifetime comfort guarantee at Verlo.com. That's Verlo.com. John?
This will be a shock to most people.
Yeah, what? Oh, boy. What do you got?
What is it? It's the Doge dividends, okay?
The Doge dividend.
Yeah, you dividend? Say Doge, I say Doge.
Doge.
The Doge dividend.
Doge.
It was just discovered, and
oh no,
I guess this may be a disappointment to some, but it's an attempted fraudulent scheme. Have you heard about the Doge dividend?
No,
at all? Because all this money that Elon is saving our government. Will come to us in a check.
Yeah, is this that $5,000 check I'm supposed to be getting?
$5,000 check.
Wow.
Yep, absolutely. What a great deal. But it's really a fraudulent scheme after all. And by the way, low-income Americans probably won't get this check. Well, isn't that funny how that works out? Isn't that strange? Could you cue up cut 186 and let's get into the whole idea of the Doge dividend? You know, they come up with this stuff. This is a grifting administration beyond anyone's imagination.
They're just playing it by ear every single day. They're just making stuff up and throwing it out there.
Yeah, no one knows what Elon is doing in these departments.
No,
right?
Not even the cabinet officials. They don't know what's happening.
Yeah, and I've got a story coming up right after this where Speaker Johnson is talking about the algorithm that has been implanted in the computers in some of these departments that is just crawling through the system. Oh, God. Okay, let's hear this cut. Let's hear what's going on with the Doge dividend.
Doge, the accuracy of its reported savings being called into question. There's the firings, then rehirings across agencies, questions about transparency, conflicts of interest, the true dollar amount of these savings being questioned, and the long-term impact of the overhaul. Well, who better to answer some of these questions than James Fishback, the CEO of Azoria, the originator of the Doge dividend. We should be paying the debt. Your response?
My response is this. We should be paying the debt, which is why the Doge dividend incentivizes every American to call out waste, fraud, and abuse, to lower the budget, to narrow the deficit, and to bring down the debt. Where was this emergency over the debt when we sent $350 billion to Ukraine to be wasted? Where was this emergency, Michael, on CNN when you guys were advocating $7,000 to migrants in Chicago? And now we want to spend $5,000 one time from President Trump to hardworking Americans. The migrants didn't deserve $7,000 a month. Hardworking Americans deserve a $5,000 check with President Trump's name on it.
This is Madoff-like. This is a Ponzi scheme. We don't have the money, is what I'm trying to tell you. It's a Ponzi.
So we didn't have the money for Ukraine, right? We didn't have the money for Ukraine. $250 billion.
I never do this because there's so much fallacy in what you've just offered. I have a very simple premise here. We're $36 trillion in debt. It's a fraud. As much as I want to see us cut waste, fraud, and abuse, it is an absolute fraud to say to the American people, because of what Musk is doing, we have $5,000 to give each of you. The only way we have $5,000 is if we're borrowing it, because we're that far in debt. But yeah, let's at least be honest with the American people that whatever we quote unquote save, we already owe. Now I'm going to give you 30 seconds to respond, and then I'm going to say see you later. Go ahead.
Michael, let me say this. We're fellow Americans. We care about this issue, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to come on this program, but I got to speak truth here. At the end of the day, we've got to send the money back that is saved, just 20% of it. The other 80% goes down to paying the national debt. Their taxpayer dollars were sent abroad, were not sent at home, were not spent in America, not on health care, not on education. That ends with President Trump's leadership today. He is delivering on his promise of major government reform, Michael. Yeah, the Doge dividend plan is bold and Americans support it.
Didn't get it. Didn't get it.
Okay.
See, the dividend should be paying down the debt.
Yeah.
Not a check to every individual in this country, except for poor people. So, you know, again, if you save the money, it goes to pay off the debt. You don't give it away. It seems pretty stupid at that point. You know, I'm glad that Michael Shmerkanish brought this up and brought light to it, because it didn't even occur. I didn't even think about it, really. You know, I just, you know, I thought it was a stupid idea, but I didn't really think where that money would come from.
Right. Yeah.
And so it isn't extra money.
No.
They're saving the money. It isn't extra. You don't just send it to people, $5,000 a person. Well, that would be great. Fantastic, sure. Mm-hmm. Vote for me. Mm-hmm. But it's really the money that we owe. It's still money we owe. We can't pay back money that we owe. Well, anyway, now I'm getting lost in the weeds.
So
here
I go doing math there on
you
the air
go,
again.
Okay.
So COVID stimulus checks. Just one figure that I found. 150 million households received a COVID stimulus check. Multiply that by $5,000, you get $750 billion going back to the American people. He says that that's going to be 20% of what DOGE is going to save. So if we multiply $750 billion times five, we get, what is that?
$1,000 million, billion, trillion.
$3.75 trillion he thinks DOGE is going to save. That's more than half the entire budget.
Yeah.
Nuts.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then, of course, you know, you factor in the Republican tax cut that they're going to put in place, and that's, I guess, estimated to raise the debt by another $3 or $4 trillion.
Mm-hmm.
So they save the money, but then they take it back out.
I know. It's maddening.
Help us all, please. Help us all.
Our number is 608-879-8255. We've got a couple of people on the line here. Let's go to Mark, who's been holding on here for quite a while. Good morning, Mark. What do you got for us this morning?
Yeah, good morning. Well, there's a President's Day sale on every day in the White House because Donald Trump has always been for sale. And most of the Republicans now are for sale. They've sold us all to Russia. I got to put my FCC filter on right here. Now, closing down the base in Greece because Russia, Vladimir Putin wants it?
Yes. Yeah.
What the living...
Yes.
It's just insane. I mean, Erdogan, I mean, Turkey and Greece have been going at it for
a long time.
For a long time. I mean, but there's no reason to be doing that because it's just servicing Russia. I mean, and that...
Yeah.
And I don't know if you guys heard that But Musk's little Doge boys is apparently his grandfather was a KGB agent and under the good old USSR, and he got fired from a job that he got out an internship he got because he was given information or selling information to a rival firm.
Wow.
So how that makes him qualified to be, you know, going through all our private data.
I know.
Beyond me.
I know. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. And I mean, we played a cut a long time ago, maybe a couple of weeks ago, where, you know, one of our representatives was questioning a group of people and asking, has Elon been, you know, vetted at all? Have you asked him what he's doing? Does anybody know what he's doing? And none of them knew. It was an incredible moment in our history that they're letting this guy just kind of rummage through department
it.
After department
it's a
after
rummage
department.
Sale. Yeah,
it's crazy.
It goes building to building, really. All right, Mark. Thank you for that call.
Thanks
a lot. Appreciate it.
Let's go to Dick. Good morning, Dick. Go ahead.
Yeah, and this other thing where you got to justify your job.
Yes.
And come up with your, how about they do that? In other words, Trump and Musk. And to Trump, golfing doesn't count and filling your depends, okay? Those two things are off the plate right from the start.
That's right.
Give us the things you do during a given day.
Yeah,
five,
just unbelievable.
Five things. And every time that Elon does come up with something that he has done, it's always we're finding out that it's a fraud, it's a lie, it's not true, and he's just making it up, or he made some kind of major error in his calculations. So he is really he's fumbling. Just the proof he's giving us is incorrect.
Right.
Yeah.
Truly amazing.
It is. It's mm-hmm. shocking to some.
Dick, thank you for your call.
We're kind of getting used to it. Now, here's a response to the Doge dividend. Gaslighting jackass doesn't like getting called out for his lies. Doge dividend is simply chum for the megas. There is no pie to split. Keep throwing out some sound bites. I'm sure that will offset a lot of the losses for jobs. And by the way, let's talk about that.
Yeah.
That was a big story last night. They were talking about all of the different messages being given about losing your job, keeping your job. You're going to be called back from your job that we fired you from. Can you imagine the trauma that these workers in our government are going through right now? I mean, they've got families. They've got bills to pay. They've got homes. And they're sitting there. Every day it's something different. They don't know. Now they have to fill out a five-question form and present it to Elon because it's Elon who's going to get it. I'm sure.
Right.
Is he going to go through every one of these forms? And
no,
every department that he's asking this form from is now saying, no, you don't have to fill it out.
Yeah, you don't have to do that. Yeah. They're just being told exactly the opposite. You don't have to respond to
it. And then, of course, Elon comes back and says, well, okay, maybe for a week, but then you have to fill out the form, and if you don't, you're going to be fired.
Yes.
So it's trauma.
It's chaos.
Like they're beating these people
up. I know it. Yes, absolutely. All right, 7:18, coming up in about 15 minutes, Jim Santel, attorney at law. We'll be talking to him on John and Gordy in the Morning, WMDX.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
For many people, this is a dark time, not just in America. Case in point, 3 years ago today, Russia invaded Ukraine. And to mark the occasion, the U.S. sponsored a resolution in the U.N. urging an end to the war in Ukraine that did not blame Russia for starting the war. Because you know what? After all this time, who can remember who invaded who? I mean, it was 3 years ago. It might have been Chris Rock who threw his face at Will Smith's slapping hand. I don't know at this point. Another resolution was after this, right? This next resolution was offered by Ukraine and the European Union condemning Russia and calling for a complete and conditional withdrawal of Russian forces. The United States voted against that, along with our traditional allies, Russia and North Korea. So it's subtle, but there's been a little shift in our foreign policy. We're going to have to retroactively change a few of our Cold War movies. So get ready for a hug for Red October. Because I got to say, because palling it up with Putin and Kim Jong-un, with Russia and North Korea, that makes us part of, I'm sorry, what's the term?
An axis of evil.
Thank you for your painting, sir. Speaking of evil, Elon Musk. Our federal workforce is in the clutches of a heartless billionaire who wants to colonize Mars with vehicles shaped like his penis. By which I mean Cybertrucks. He should see a doctor. This weekend, Field Marshal Musk sent a mass email to every single federal worker. Subject line, what did you do last week? Instructing them all to reply with approximately 5 bullets of what they accomplished last week. He followed up by tweeting, failure to respond will be taken as a resignation. Federal workers who got this email had no idea what to do. And their Trump administration bosses didn't seem to know either. New director of national intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, told personnel at spy agencies not to respond. FBI director Kash Patel told FBI staff to pause any responses. And Health and Human Services Secretary RFK Jr. said in an email saying, free roadkill in the break room.
WMDX 92.7, John and Gordy in the morning.
7:23, it's 40 degrees now, high today close to 50. It's going to be bright and sunny all day long. Yeah, those federal layoffs, federal workers layoffs are affecting people in Wisconsin too. The massive layoffs of federal employees orchestrated by Trump and Elon Musk and his billionaire advisor, Musk. Worker fired from the dairy Forage Research Center in Wisconsin, yeah, estimated about a quarter of the staff at the U.S. Department of Ag facility in Wisconsin were laid off. And also the Veterans Hospital at Shorewood Hills here in Madison. They have a few layoffs. There's some probationary employees were laid off. So it is affecting us locally here, too. That's just a couple of examples.
And there's kind of a delayed effect.
Yeah. It takes a while.
Over all of this. It's going to come back to haunt us big time. This story is something that just kind of your jaw drops after you hear it.
Yeah.
This is Speaker Johnson, Mike Johnson, admitting that Elon has cracked the code with algorithms. Crawling through their system.
What?
Those are the actual words he's used. So I just thought maybe if we just queued up cut 188 and then had a little listen to what this is. Speaker Johnson actually just telling a reporter this is what's going on.
Okay.
And I'm just thinking, really? This just off the cuff? Let's go with it.
And the Congress, we could have oversight. The problem is, for decades, as we know, we haven't been able to do that job well. Because even though we requested the data and requested the insight, it was hidden. How many of you know that bureaucracy was not forthcoming, right? They're not transparent. That's the whole point. That's the problem. That's the deep state we talk about. So they were hiding from Congress. We didn't know that USAID was funding drag shows in Peru or whatever, you know, transgender operas in Colombia or whatever.
And they were.
You know, I mean, it's madness. But Elon has cracked the code. He is now inside the agencies. He's created these algorithms that are constantly crawling through the data, and as he told me in his office, the data doesn't lie. We're going to be able to get the information. We're going to be able to transform the way the federal government works at the end of this, and that is a very exciting prospect. It is truly a revolutionary moment for the nation.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, thanks for explaining.
I mean, just listening to that, it sounds like some kind of crackpot in the back room, you know, spouting inconsistencies and lunacy where you just kind of roll your eyes and you eventually try to leave. It's nuts. He's nuts. Mm. You know, he always comes across very quiet, very reserved.
Yeah. He doesn't get excited.
No,
or
he doesn't.
He's not ranting and raving.
Right.
Yeah.
But here he
Matter
is.
Matter of fact, yeah.
This is what he really sounds like. This is paranoia
scary.
On steroids.
Yeah.
All right. Mm. Here's a posted response to this. Speaker Johnson just said the quiet part out loud. Republicans have handed Elon Musk the keys to the federal government's data.
Yeah.
The fox is in the hen house. The foreign-born billionaire is running surveillance, and these algorithms are crawling through the system. You couldn't have obviously put it any worse than that, I don't think, right?
Yeah, it seems like a nice guy, Senator Mike Johnson.
Yeah.
Speaker wow. of the House.
Now, I saw this. This was a great video on X. Mm-hmm. Thank good. I'm glad it's on X.
Yeah.
It is a British billboard that they're putting up all the way through England. And it's a poster that says, Tesla, the swastika, goes from 0 to 1939 in 3 seconds.
Okay. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. My kids, they told me about the swastika, Tesla. And I remember seeing a video of a Cybertruck that had a scrolling sign on the back of the truck.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've seen this.
Did you see that?
Yeah, because it's perfect for those kind of projection signs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did see that.
And people are like, you know, recording this. And the sign on the back of this Cybertruck said, don't blame me. I'm not. I just bought the truck.
Right. You know, all kinds of great messages.
It's great
like
messages,
that.
You know, don't, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I just happened to buy it. That's all. I didn't expect this.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people didn't. And I don't blame people that have Teslas.
Right.
It's just new Teslas, please. You
okay.
know?
Yeah.
And sales, by the way, have plummeted. Thank goodness.
Sheryl Crow sold hers.
Yeah.
And gave the money to charity.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is 7:29. Coming up in just a few minutes, we'll talk to attorney Jim Santel right here on John and Gordy in the Morning, WMDX.
WMDX, John and Gordy in the Morning. I'm John, and that's Gordy over there. In case you're watching, I hope you're watching in your car as you Bluetooth it into your radio system. And
producer
you
Sam.
Watch while you drive, John.
Well, just glance over.
That's old hat stuff. That's information you don't need anymore.
And this portion of John and Gordy in the Morning on WMDX is brought to you by our friends at David J. Frank. They are your turnkey one-stop landscaping resource celebrating 65 years in business, taking care of lawns, flowers, trimming, shaping, pruning, commercial and residential. And they have offices in Madison, Milwaukee, and Kenosha. David J. Frank celebrating, again, 65 years in business. They can take care of seasonal colors in flower beds and containers, whatever it takes to keep your yard or lawn looking great. That's davidjfrank.com. davidjfrank.com.
All right.
John?
All right. As we always do at this time of the month, we always get in Jim Santel.
Yes.
Amicus, a law review. Great program. He's on, of course, with Dom every once in a while, and he's got his own program. It's a fantastic show. You should definitely check it out. A lot goes on. You talk politics, you talk law, and we were talking off the air here about some of the things that, you know, government employees have to put up with when it comes to DOGE and what is taking place in this government about, you know, filling out a 5-point form, what you did last week, you know. How stupid can anything sound, right?
Exactly. And even imagine, for I know many of your listeners have their own businesses or a part of private companies. You've got supervisors, you've got bosses. Could imagine if somebody, for example, if I simply sent something to all your employees, name your business, name your entity, and said, without any authority, I want you to send to me at this email, again, a statement of what you've done for the past week. Without any sense of asserting supervisory control or having any sense of what that information might be, which is also the problem, right?
Right.
I think about my own former Department of Justice, the great number of things that assistant U.S. attorneys and professional staff do during the course of a week are completely, by law, prohibited from disclosure, including grand jury information, including sensitive investigations, all kinds of things that should not be in the public domain, but we'll simply send them into this broad-based email account and let it fly. It is just beyond belief. It is, if it wasn't so ridiculous, again, it would be, and scary, and just downright scary. It would be funny.
Yeah. You know, I work for the government still. You used to, but, you know, they were really, really, really secure in the information that we were holding. We had badges. You know, it took about a month, I think, to get my badge made while they did a background check. And then when we had the badges, to get into the building of the offices that we worked at, like the Census Bureau, you have to show that particular badge, and in order to use the elevator, you have to use the badge to scan it in, like a security anyway. And then you couldn't get other people on the elevator without them using their own cards. You can't get somebody on. You can't have a guest on because everybody has to be accounted for on the elevator going up to the floor that you need to go to. That's how secure these buildings are, these government buildings are.
Right. I remember well that, again, I used to work in the federal courthouse in downtown Milwaukee, this majestic but very secure building. Again, to get in there for the public, you can get in there. It's your building and you should have access to it, but you need to go through the regular security. But even there was a memo repeatedly during the course of many years that even holding the door open for the next employee who's coming through, that's a security breach. Everybody needs to go through. And now we have, again, the very young people and Elon apparently just showing up and walking into what, name your agency. And asking not only for entry, but also the information on, again, government PCs, very private information. I will tell you quite seriously, the thankfully, we've got federal judges who are stopping him from doing this. But the IRS and the Social Security information, that is a source, should have people's hair on fire.
Yes, absolutely.
That he's getting access to that kind of information.
Yeah. And we just heard a cut from Speaker Johnson, how he admitted that Elon has cracked the code and he's got algorithms crawling through their systems, which is just frightening, absolutely frightening.
Right. And what exactly does that mean? What is it that they're crawling to find out, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got government people who do have access because they've got background checks, as you just said, John, and they're properly getting access to it. Why is it that we've now unleashed these kind of alien type nanites inside our system? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We're somehow going to cull through all this to find what? And frankly, also to disturb what? To eliminate things? We just don't know. It's just absurd. And again, it is so juvenile and so sophomoric. But again, the takeaway, I think, for all of us, it is also threatening our personal privacy, which has been appropriately handled by the government with not perfectly, but with a great deal of precision. Now you've got non-governmental people who do not have the oath of office, if you will, behind them. And they potentially, if these federal judges we're not standing in the way, they would potentially have access to all of your employment history since the time you had your first job, all that kind of thing. It's stunning.
Yeah. We're talking to attorney Jim Santel from Amicus, a law review that you can hear on Civic Media on the weekends. Now, Jim, you talk about these federal judges. You know, we hear about all these lawsuits popping up. This Maryland federal judge temporarily blocking Department of Education and Office of Personnel Management from sharing sensitive data. So is this truly stopping DOGE from just going on to the next department, the next building down the street in Washington? Is it slowing things down? Is it effective to have these federal judges jumping in?
It is slowing things down with a small s. And so your question is the right one, again, for all Americans. What's happening, of course, is you've got groups coming in and saying, no, this administration. And then, as you just said, Gordy, you fill in the blank of whatever outrage there is, whatever access there is. It could be, again, I think there are 72 different lawsuits pending right now.
72.
And most of, if not all, the federal judges are looking at this and saying, no, that is in violation of the Constitution, of the laws passed by Congress, by regulations. And so what they're entering are temporary restraining orders and basically saying, until we get back and I can take a closer look at this, stop what you're doing, Elon Musk. Stop what you're doing, Donald Trump. and don't do that. Now, there are two issues with that. One, of course, is that you have to have a follow-up hearing where more evidence will be taken, and the judge presumably will enter a more permanent order. But there again, that's with a small p. The two variations on that, which is the reason why it's a small s for stopping things, is number one, the Trump administration is appealing those decisions to appeals courts. And again, if you get to a Fifth Circuit or maybe an 11th Circuit and they say, no, we think that under the Supreme Court recent precedent, the government does have the right, the president does have the right to go in. That's one option. Ultimately, these things could get to the United States Supreme Court, where we do not have a bastion of privacy being pushed back on, right? That's the number one concern that is certainly out there. And the reason why, again, I think there is some pushback here, but it may not be permanent. The reason why people have got to continue to be very, very clear on what their positions are.
Well, there has been a little bit of pushback, but at the same time, some of these court cases have gone the other way, and they have allowed DOGE to go into these buildings, or they've allowed the administration to fire individuals from government bodies. The problem I have is that I thought this was the duty of Congress. And if it is the duty of Congress, then how can a judge say, they can go ahead and do this stuff, when it's really the responsibility of Congress to do all of this stuff? How can they go back on that? Yeah,
exactly. And it is the larger issue that we've talked about so many times before on your wonderful broadcast. And that is, we've come to the point where, because Congress does not act, right? You can pick your topic, pick immigration, right? We were close in 2024 to getting some omnibus immigration legislation. Donald Trump didn't do that. We do not have a Congress as active today. Think about what they have done, even in the past couple of months here. They're not active. And so in the absence of congressional action, what do you have? You've got a president now who is issuing all of these executive orders, the great majority of which are unconstitutional, asserting privileges and priorities over all kinds of independent agencies. And you do have a Supreme Court, which again told him in July of last year that he's got to be muscular and active and be able to not have entanglements like, say, criminal prosecutions that might hinder his movement forward. That is a recipe. That is a Congress that's not as active as it should be. And you're absolutely right. They have established the mechanisms by which these agencies should be working. Donald Trump is basically saying no. And that's, frankly, that's the other second portion of the fear that's out there, is that even if you get federal judges who say, Donald, you can't do this, he has said on at least a couple of occasions, and the federal judges are beginning to hold the administration in contempt. He simply said, as he said in his first term, I'm not going to do that. Yeah. I don't care. I don't care what the federal judges tell me. Hmm. I'm still going to go ahead. And again, between that lack of force by the Congress, a Supreme Court that's giving the authority, and an executive that says, I'm not bound by any of that. That is when, at the risk of sounding hyperbolic here, which is not, that is when the Republic begins to crumble. Those are truly, truly, we bandy about the phrase constitutional crisis. It doesn't often happen. But when you get to that point and one branch simply says, I'm not playing with the rest of you, that's when you do indeed have a constitutional crisis that is the beginning of the crumbling of our basic rule of law institutions.
Jim, there is one case that's going to go to the Supreme Court that we know of, right? The 14th Amendment case, the birthright?
Exactly. That's almost certainly headed there. And again, this is also perhaps among the most ridiculous of them, right? That it should have to go to the Supreme Court. You do have lower courts and appeals courts who are saying, no. That special jurisdictional language that's inside the 14th Amendment does not change the meaning of the Constitution. And that's what Donald Trump has been maintaining, that we got to have jurisdiction over people. And if indeed we don't have a jurisdiction, they're not real citizens, among other problems with that sweeping much too broadly, and basically establishing that, gee, if that's real, if that's true, then all of our Native American Indian populations would not be United States citizens. Mm-hmm. Think right. about that. In any event, right. yes, that could get to the Supreme Court. You would hope, I think we can count at least three, maybe Amy Coney Barrett as well, maybe four, maybe five, if the Chief Justice wakes up one morning and says, yes, I've got to preserve the Republic, would say, this is just too much. But again, that is a ridiculous notion. It is, again, the notion that a chief executive has immunities, also ridiculous. And yet, what did they do? They embraced it last July. And so no predictions anymore from me, because all bets are off when it comes to what the Supreme Court may do.
That's right. Yeah. Well, I was reading where the unions have challenged Musk's order for federal employees to justify weekly work schedule. Their feedback, that five-question questionnaire, does that change things a little bit? I mean, they were questioning whether, you know, Elon had the ability to fire anybody at all. I don't know which way that went, but they amended it to include this five-question questionnaire that is required by the employees. Does that make a difference, do you think, adding that to
it? I think it does. It underscores, as lawyers often do, when you put into a civil complaint the truly absurd things that are going on, that makes the big issue even more dramatic, right? So this notion of asking everybody up, three million federal employees in the United States of America, right? It underscores the craziness of it. But it goes back to your central issue, John, which is just, this is not a man. Again, even Doge, the D in Doge, it's misleading. There's no department. The Congress never created this. Let's call it the Elon Musk, or again, running around inside our government. He's got no authority. When was he sworn in to do anything? And that's the focus of the lawsuit. This is a guy who's been given the keys to come into the buildings and access to the PCs, but he's got no official authority congressionally, legislatively, again, through the courts. We'll see how that plays out. But it's, again, as if anyone, a private citizen, shows up and says, I'm just going to do this, and the president lets that person happen. That's the challenge.
It is. And a lot of pushback from the public now on the Republicans for doing this or letting this get out of hand as they have. We want to hold you over.
Yep. Talking to Jim Santel, back with John and Gordy in a moment.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
I don't know. I don't know.
It is 7:51, 92.7 WMDX with John and Gordy in the morning. And this portion of the show is being brought to you by Verlo Mattress. The Verlo's President's Sale continues this week, but you better get in there to take advantage of their free 0% financing available for up to 18 months. You can save up to 50% on their adjustable bases. All kinds of great deals going on during the President's Day sale, but it ends at the end of the week at Verlo Mattress, east side location, west side location, and you can get more information at verlo.com. John?
We're talking to Jim Santel, Amicus, a law review. You can listen to that on the weekends from 9 to 11 on Saturday.
Right.
And I think there's one part here that is a little confusing for me, in that the Supreme Court got rid of the Chevron doctrine, which allowed agencies to have some legal ability to regulate, right, from their departments. And Absolutely. That was switched over to the courts instead. Now they have control over it. But then all of a sudden, Trump came out and said that he is going to be making the decision for everybody. So am I right on this thing? Have we suddenly switched around here? Another?
You are, and we're certainly sending mixed signals from Washington, D.C. about who's in control,
yes.
Right? Which is a larger theme that I think we're all suffering under. You're absolutely right. And so this is this Loper Bright Enterprises case. It was from very late June of last year, and basically said that again, no more discretion inside federal judges to determine, to object to go opposite to what the experts are telling us, right? Mm-hmm. It was a rejection of the notion we've got people inside agencies who know what they're doing. In some ways, what the president did a week ago today is consistent with that, because he also says that at least with respect to what are called the independent agencies, people say, well, what are those? Geez, you know, the reality is that there are an awful lot of them. The Federal Trade Commission, huge, right? The National Labor Relations Board regulates labor. The Federal Communications Commission.
Yes.
Maybe even a part of the Federal Reserve, right? All those kinds of things created by Congress to be out there, yes, but they're independent of the executive branch. They can still be in court and judges can still take a look at what they're doing. But the whole notion was they should not be subject to the political whims and the animation of the president. A week ago, he issued one of his many executive orders and said, not just effectively, but realistically, that when it comes to understanding what the law is, you've got it just right, John. Now he is the one, and maybe the attorney general along the way, if she cares to weigh in along the way, that they're the ones who are going to tell us what the law is. And oh, by the way, when it comes to communications policy, labor policy, again, economic policy, the Federal Reserve, many other of these independent agencies created by Congress to be independent, not have this kind of political intervention by the executive. Now he's going to make that decision. And this is right out of Project 2025. It's called the Unitary Executive Theory. I suspect that's right. Many of your listeners remember this well. We've talked about it. And it's this notion that there is one executive, it's Donald Trump, and he is responsible for every single decision that's made inside that frankly, the second branch of government there. And that's just not the constitutional design. That is not the legislative design. It's another instance of his running roughshod over what Congress has done, what the Constitution says, and how things work. And it's been in place now for a week. It'll be challenged once again. But to my mind, not in any way diminishing the significance of all of these other things that are outrageous in terms of government actions that he's engaging in, this is the one in which he declares himself the dictator. He says, I am the law. I'm going to tell you what the law is, and nobody else will do that. That, once again, should send shivers up the spines of all of us.
Well, you mentioned Somebody's got to challenge it. Who the heck is going to be able to challenge that particular, you know, I am king
right. statement? Yeah, exactly, right. And so it's got to happen in the weeds once again. Yeah, National Labor Relations Board. He declares something. He says, these are the labor laws now. These are the employment laws. Mm-hmm. And someone who is aggrieved by that's got to run into court and say, no, they're not. But individually, again, all these specific and separate agencies will come under review then, and we'll have, we've got something like, more than 70 lawsuits. This promises to spawn even more. And in the meantime, we depend upon federal judges once again to stop it. And we also have a president who says, federal judges, who are they? Mm-hmm. No, I'm the president. I will do what I want. This is a mix of great, great concern. People talk about the coming authoritarianism. It's here.
Yeah.
It's here.
Yeah. And this has been well researched for years by all of these conservative organizations and groups. This is the culmination of what they have been working on. Project 2025 was just an incredible piece of documentation. Absolutely incredible.
Right. And again, I hesitate to say to the credit, because it's not to the credit of anybody in America on the face of the planet, but they're prepared. And you're right. This is, again, the unitary executive theory around since Ronald Reagan. And finally, even like presidential immunity, nobody believed that. Now, finally, it's taking hold.
That's right. That was a big deal during the George W. administration, the unitary executive. I thought they really wanted to push it at that point, but didn't have the ability to do it. But Trump, of course, doesn't believe that there are any rules or regulations or guardrails, doesn't even know anything about government. So it's not a big deal to him.
Right. And again, he fundamentally doesn't understand how government works. Mm-hmm. That's also a huge problem.
Absolutely.
Jim Santel, thank you for joining us. You can listen to
Always
Jim
a pleasure.
With the Amicus Law Review Saturdays, 9 a.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Time just flies by.
Jim, we'll see you next time. Appreciate it.
Do just that.
All right.
Stephanie Miller's coming up next. Also, tomorrow, Mike McCabe will join us. Yep. He's going to be talking about how to brace for the news cycle every day.
Wow.
Can't wait for that.
All right.
Have a great day. We'll talk to you in 22 hours right here.
Well, thank you.
WMDX, yeah.
That's nice. Yeah. Thanks.
Okay.
I'll have a great day.
Yeah.
I know you meant that, right?
You want another cup of coffee?
No.
I think you've had enough.
No, I've had enough.
Let's go to beer.
Beer? Yeah.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community.
Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.